Hello, I'm Dr. Lou Condor, technical communicator, writer, editor, as well as adjunct lecturer at California State University, Dominguez Hills. Welcome to the podcast for the Advanced Technical Communication class, where we discuss key aspects of technical writing and communication. We have two different topics I'm going to cover in this one podcast. So let's start with the first one. Reviewing, evaluating, and testing documents. I thought I'd mention a few things about this because it's another important aspect that is sometimes overlooked by a lot of individuals. What is usability? Now, you'll hear me say the term usability a lot. You'll hear me say it in this class and even more in the information design course. It's how easily a person can use a document, site, software program to carry out a task. Okay, so how can people use this material so that they get the maximum amount of benefit from it, especially the material you're writing? So first, reviewing. Revising, editing, and proofreading will help improve your document's readability. Remember I covered that in the proposal, and you'll see comments, you know, all throughout this thing. What I'm doing to you is trying to increase the readability of your document so it's not confusing. I want to see clear and concise. Make your document easier to use, and of course, clear and concise. Evaluating the document, is it accomplishing what you want? Have others read your draft and make sure that it makes sense to them where it may not make sense to you. What are the strengths and weaknesses of your document? So when other people read your draft, that's what they should evaluate. Can they do the task that you're requiring them? Do they understand the information? You know, think about what is the weakest part of your document. What you're doing right there is usability testing. You are thinking through what you've got. Now, the testing, you know, you want to observe the people that are looking at it. Do they tell you one thing, like if they're friends, are they saying, oh, this is no problem, but yet they're scratching their head and trying to figure something out? What are their actions? Are the testers able to carry out the task in the document, or do they give up? That's the worst thing that can happen is a user gives up and then you really have failed to create a document that's usable. What difficulties are they having? Maybe they could complete the task, but it took them three or four times longer than it should have. And you have to figure out, okay, how can I make it clearer? And a lot of times they'll tell you, I wish I had a drawing. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. So it's something to keep in mind. Importance. How important is the document or site? You have to think about that in your factor in evaluation. Test multiple times if it's critical. It's one thing when you are just saying, giving it simple instruction on how to print a document. It's another thing if someone is not using a device correctly, they could create an explosion that could kill a ton of people and it could also damage property. So you have to really think about that. So if it's that critical, and I've worked on documents like that, like in nuclear reactors and things I've worked on, you must absolutely have it tested. Yourself, other people, make sure you capture all the critical aspects to the document. Make sure it's functional. Time. What's the deadline? We always have to balance the deadline versus how good the document is. And that's what, do you have time to do this? A lot of times companies will make the time if it's a super critical document like a nuclear reactor, but if it's not, then they will pass on that and you have to sort of accept that. So you have to decide. You could make an argument that you need to, but it's something to keep in mind. Money, cost and budget, again, they want you to work on seven other projects and they're just as important. So you've got to hurry up, do this, get it done, get it through, and move on. And again, remember I talked about scope in another podcast? Scope's really important, folks. And that is why it really helps out. Now, what do? Proofread. It's cheap, it's simple, and quick. And that's one of the things I always find with students when they first start to take the course is that they don't proofread. They you know, are in a rush, they want to post. Read, reread, and reread. Proofread. After a while, you do sort of stop seeing the problems. So what I say is put it down for a little bit, even if it's an hour, you know, you got a meeting to go to. I used to love to finish my documents just before the meeting and then go to a meeting, which you're totally in another mindset for another document. Then you come back and reread it with fresh eyes. It's really helpful. Important documents, this can catch errors. And in some cases, those errors could cause harm like we discussed. Read aloud if you can. That helps. I used to steal conference rooms I do this especially when I write training scripts and technical written scripts for how to operate a device. I did podcasts that way. Oh my gosh, I used to go in and read them in a little conference room on the side to make sure it was really clear that it sounded right, because I wasn't recording a lot of them. Other people were recording them, this SME. So you wanted to make sure that they got the right thing. Now, editing your work. Editing is actually another field where you can make money. So if you get good at editing your work, you can edit other people's work. So you want to look at it saying, is the document effective? You won't always have an editor at a company. It's very rare. So you will most likely edit your own. Can you navigate the document? We'll go over this more in the information design course, but it's something to consider. Are the instructions clear enough? Are they numbered? Are they going where you need to go? Is it easy to follow? Is there a list of things that a user might need to fix a car tire or to fix this? Have you ever used a manual where, you know, you had no idea what to do? That frustrated you, right? I mean, I'm sure we've all been there. That's what you want to avoid. Does the document meet expectations? Like when you do your purpose statement, say the proposal, is it really what it's saying? Like, are you stating the purpose statement clearly and concisely so that you know what the document is? That's like an expectation of the document. Is it, if it tells you how to install a new Wi-Fi system, is it actually doing it? You know, is it doing it correctly, easily, clearly, concisely? Those are the questions you have to ask. Is the document following legal standards? Most companies have lawyers look into this to help you, but, you know, do you need that? This is hazardous, caution, warning. Make sure you have the right icons that your company uses. Always use the same international symbols. You know, you can go and find them online. You know, always use, say, a particular symbol for caution, a particular symbol for warning. You know, use the color red. And we'll cover that in the next course, but it's things that like that, that sort of bring the document through. Is the document helpful? Always ask yourself that on every level. Review the contents. Is everything there? Is the document organized logically? Is there proper emphasis where it needs to be? Is text bolded where you need it so that they know what that means? That's usability. Keep those standards throughout the document. So when you define a standard, keep it. Are claims supported in the document? Remember, that's what I had you do references. If you say 150 million people died of COVID, are you just making that up like I did? Or do you actually get it from a source? So you really need to get that accurate. Are necessary elements present and consistent? Callouts, boxes, arrows, all those kind of things, bold text to show emphasis. Do you have graphics? Are they labeled? Are they labeled properly? Do we know what they mean? Facts, figures, references, are they accurate? Are they legitimate? Do they come from a good source? All that kind of stuff. Is your writing clear and concise and consistent? Do you develop your paragraphs well? One of the difficult things I see, and this is a really rookie mistake in technical writing, is you'll see paragraphs one sentence. Then you'll see paragraphs with 25 sentences as a block. So unless it's stated in some kind of guide, you can't do that. There are 3 to 5 sentences as a paragraph, so keep it that way. In APA, they're like an abstract is 150 words. It's max, and it's one block paragraph. That's an exception. Everything else within the document should be in paragraph form, unless it's a step-by-step or a slide presentation or something else that really needs to not be that way. And manuals too. So when you're doing reports and things like that, you really have to be careful. Know what you need to do. There are all kinds of stuff. There's structured content, file attachments, revision. If you look at this example here, you could already see that there's bullet points, bold text, colored text, focus groups. Okay, this is a new one. I've actually participated in and supervised focus groups. A lot of times they're used in advertising, but in big products such as Apple and Google and those, they use focus groups. And they'll use focus groups as a means to evaluate services or test new ideas. Basically, focus groups are interviews. They consist of about 6 to 10 people in a group at the same time, and they sit in a room and they discuss something, the usability of a product, whatever. It's possible to get those for manuals, but it's very rare. Testers and evaluators are more likely someone you'll deal with, and some could be subject matter experts. You might ask them to review some section. I never had them review the whole manual. I just say, can you review this one section? I just want to make sure it's valid and correct. Users might do the whole manual, and you might have a usability expert if you're really lucky. Basics of usability. Usability testing is important during product development. They do it all the time as they create products. It depends on the organization, but usually consumer products. Other types of products that are business to business or non-consumer, like for example the process industry instruments, they might have one person test it, but they already know because the people creating it have also been users at some point. Usability testing involves real users and their products, documents, instruction manuals, etc. Websites, they go through it. A lot of usability testing is done on websites, and so that's where a lot of the information comes from for you documents on website and performance. And you could think of it like SEO, which is search engine optimization. That's a new term that you'll be hearing a lot. A lot of tech writers need to get to understand that. And that is, you want the documents able to be found and the information to be found quickly by search engines. So there's new facets of usability coming in. You want to set measurable goals and determine if the goals are met. Again, even if it's just you or someone you have reading it, you want to make sure that your goal could be as simple as completing the task within 5 minutes. Week 8, we test the document with a user, and for the class, we'll be on small scale and informal, but it's just something to be aware of. And that's it. We're going to go on to the next task-oriented lecture. So for task-oriented writing, this is not that long of a little discussion, but what is it? Well, task-oriented writing is writing in terms of how the user does the task. And so that includes mainly step-by-step instructions. Tasks and procedures are either synonymous or they're related to each other depending on the topic. So we want to write for the intended audience. You want to make sure that the right audience is there and you understand who they are. Present the information from the user's point of view. Have a practical reason for information. Focus on the task, not product functions. Use headings that reveal the task. Divide the task into subtasks. Very important. You want a subtask if you have this long paragraph, okay? Remember I talked about paragraphs? Well, step by step are the exception. They are very short, not even sentence, how to use something, right? Click on sign. Click on view. You know what I mean? They're sort of real sentences, but they're not even. So what you want to do is keep them, but if you have an elaborate task that has 4 steps embedded, break those into subtasks. This way, it's really easy to skim and scan. Nothing aggravates a reader more who's trying to do a task if they have to try to go through a lot of words. The other related to that is have a practical reason for the information. The information above might be too much. So if you have but note, or and you go into this long explanation, nobody cares. You could put that at the very bottom after the task is complete, or at the very top if the task is reliant as knowledge before the task is executed. Just make it as clear and concise as you can. And that's where you come into providing clear step-by-step instructions. You want them short, sweet, and concise. Here again, like I said, you're not going to have paragraphs, you're not even going to have sentences in most cases. You're just going to have the max amount of words you absolutely need and no more. Make what you are writing relevant to the task. Do not include long explanations or inappropriate information. The reader will just get aggravated and quit reading, and then you may not have a job because you're going to have to rewrite everything, or they're just not going to be satisfied. Test your instruction with others, which is what we'll do. And you want to be concise again. It's just absolutely imperative to be concise. Create headings that tell your user what the task is. Saving my document as a Word doc or something like that, or saving a Word doc. There you go. I even trimmed it down. So you keep working on it until you trim it to the least amount of words. Avoid misleading or vague verbs such as understanding, learning. Today we will learn how to. They're there because they want to learn it. They know. They're not going to sit there and try to figure it out. They know what they want, and they're grabbing it, and they just need to fill it out or figure it out or change a tire on a bicycle or figure out how to do something in Word or Photoshop. And it's just that one thing. They don't care about anything else. So remember, scope again. You keep that scope, and you keep it real tight, clear, and concise. Here's an example of something misleading. Use the define font window. Understanding hardware requirements. So let's improve on that, right? So defining a font. It's really clear because you're like, what's a font window? You know, what are, instead of understanding hardware requirements, well, we already know that they want to understand, so we just say hardware requirements. They already know that it's hardware requirements for whatever they're doing, software, whatever. Examine Microsoft's document. You can load templates or add-ins. Microsoft has some really good stuff. On slide number 7, I have an example of a step-by-step process from Microsoft that I thought was really good. So you want to load templates or add-ins. When you load a template or an add-in, it remains loaded for the current Windows session only. That's important, so they put it at the very head. They didn't try to mix it into the step-by-step process. If you quit and restart Word, the template or add-in is not automatically reloaded. So those are two warnings for this version of Microsoft that are there. They're stated at the very beginning before you start, okay? You don't want to mix that within the instructions because it leads to confusion. So if you look at the instruction, they're numbered. You want to number all steps because they mean that what numbering a step means is that it has to be done in consecutive order. And that's the really big thing to it, is it needs to be done in consecutive order. Then if you look at the example, it says click the Microsoft button, and it shows you what the button looks like, and then click Word Options. Notice the choices are bolded. If you're a user, you're almost ignoring the click. It's an action which you need to include, but you're ignoring it because you're looking for the button, and then you're looking for the choice you need. Then it says click Add-ins, so then you look for add-ins, right? In the Manage list, okay, now we know that's the name of the list. Good, I found the list. The word, select Word Add-ins and then click Go. So once I bring up Word Add-ins, you know Go is going to appear. It's like a verification. They just look over. If you pull your eyes to the screen and away and back, you go right to the bolded text. That's the point. And as we go on, you can see, and then at the very end, they put another little bit of information. If the template or add-in you want does not appear in the box, click Add, etc. Okay, so they're not putting it in the middle of the instructions, which is really annoying. They're putting it at the end. And look at how short and concise those instructions are. By the way, if you look at the example, they have periods at the end of each. If you're going to use periods, use them for steps 1 through 5. If you're not, don't put them in steps 1 through 5. So it's just something that you should be aware of for that continuity. It increases usability. Review slide 7. Some questions you might want to think about as a technical communicator. Do the instructions support the guidelines? Okay. Do the instructions focus on the tasks, not the product functions? You want the task to get something done. The product function is another part of a manual, so you don't need to worry about that. Are the instructions clear? Who is the intended audience? Are the instructions written for the intended audience? So it would be a Microsoft user in that case. And were they written for the Microsoft user of that version of software? Yes. Do the headings reveal the task? Absolutely. And do instructions present information from the user's point of view? Yes, because it's giving them a command. Click the start menu, right? That's my point of view, because that's what I'm seeing. So that's it for this one. I told you it was short, but it's just some stuff to keep in mind. And that's it for this week. Thanks. Music by Purple Planet Music at music: https://www.purple-planet.com.